Greetings, everyone. This is Eric Andelin, Senior Photogrammetry Workflow Specialist with SimActive, and you're joining us for Episode 19 of the Pixels and Points podcast, Can You Process 10,000 Drone Images Overnight? And with me, I have my guest, J.D. Darville, UAS Program Manager with the Alabama DOT. J.D., say hi to everybody.
How's everybody doing?
Very good, very good. We're all well. So you and I were just recently at the IHEAP conference in Salt Lake City. Do you want to kind of give everybody a little rundown on what that conference is?
Yeah, so the Highway Engineering Exchange Program is a conference that's been around since 1959. It's a DOT conference for DOTs, hosted by DOTs. I've been going since 1998, so every year I have an opportunity to come out and learn what other DOTs are doing, and then hopefully take something home and put it to use in our program.
I like to tell my peers, you really should be there if you want to do any work with a DOT. You get to meet a lot of great folks. You get to show them what you can do, what your, in our case, our software, in the, you know, people that manufacture the drones, what the drones can do. It's not like going to commercial UAV Expo. We're actually here with all the people that do and that run these DOTs. So you are kind of, maybe by default, at the forefront of the UAS side of things. So give us a little bit about yourself and the program at Alabama DOT.
Sure. So I was approached in January 2016. At that time, I was headed up our GIS group. I had been looking at possible drone use at the DOT, was called upstairs to the front office and asked me if I was interested in starting a UAS program. So I went ahead, started putting things together. I was still heading up GIS, but went from there. And right around 2019, we finally got to hire some folks. So we had to go through the whole gamut of you know, creating positions, what we were after. Was it going to be central office? Was it going to be, you know, out in our regions to begin with? Things like that. So a lot of time and effort went into to get the program up and running. But we've been going strong since then. Just to give you an idea, last fiscal year we did over 4,000 flights. This fiscal year we topped 4,300. So we're on the go. Like I said, we are centrally located. We cover the whole state. There are 7 pilots, including myself, and we run the gamut. Whether it's ortho imagery, 3D modeling, 360 panos, construction update, progress flights. So we are busy, so which is a good thing. But my group loves it. I think it's headed in the right direction. And when it comes to HEAP this year, this is the first year we have a separate track for UAS. So it's growing. It's not going away at the DOTs. The nice thing about it is this year we have 26 DOTs participating just on the UAS side of things. And next year it'll grow. So for our first year, I'm pleasantly surprised. And
yeah, you know, having been going to HEAP conferences for quite a while, it is nice to see the UAS side and its track go in that direction. I agree that it's not going away in DOTs. In fact, you'll see more and more of it. And there's plenty of reasons for that. But for you guys, it's, you know, it's another tool in the toolbox, like survey equipment, like anything else. You have the capacity, software, to process that data yourselves. You guys also have subcontractors that do that work for you as well. So I think that that works out really well. I'm glad to see, especially in the DOT market, drones making a nice footprint for themselves. So capturing large amounts of images, that's a challenge. Validating and preparing all of that to ingest into the software and process and things like that. How to process large projects, and that's with Correlator 3D or with anything else, and then preparing those results for delivery to the stakeholders and things like that, which you guys have to do. So projects that that involve large amounts of imagery, you know, they may take multiple days to capture. What are some of the things that you guys do? We're talking about in case of one of the projects you show me, Selma, Alabama, there's more than 10,000 images involved in that. So, you know, how do you guys deal with that on the DOT side, from even from the collection all the way to getting it ready to, or assembling it to put it into the processing software?
Yeah, so Selma was a unique situation due to, you know, the tornadoes. So number one, it's a tough environment to fly in. Yeah. You know, you've got to get in there. Your pilot's got to be safe.
you know, there's a lot of moving parts and pieces going on during that, the first initial 48 hours when first responders were in there trying to do our job. It was a massive area, like you said, 10,000 plus images. So our goal is to get out there, boots on the ground, get our birds up in the air, fly it. And then the next job is, you can fly everything you want, but if you can't get that process and deliver it to the decision makers, you've actually, you know, you've got a bunch of images of what you've got, mm-hmm. which is nothing. So our goal was to get that stuff processed as quickly as possible, get it to the decision makers, let them do what they wanted to do with that data. So and it went all the way to the front office, to the city of Selma, to consultants that we had to get that data delivered to. So it's imperative in those types of situations to get it, you know, get that data in the right hands as quickly as possible.
So in a case like that, and we've talked on other occasions, are you flying multiple drones? Are you flying just singles? I believe you're flying Wingtra at this point, correct?
Yeah, so big projects like that or corridor projects, we're using our Wingtra 1 Gen 2. We love that drone. I forgot the last count of how many acres. It's astronomical how many acres we've flown with that in 2 years. So, you know, when you start flying a 77-mile corridor in West Alabama and they need the data yesterday, you know, we were flying all day, processing data at night, and, you know, getting it ready. We actually flew it in 3.5 days and had the data delivered, I think, within a week. We were done processing and adding into a GIS system for them. So,
yeah.
But again, data sets like that are becoming more and more common, and you've got to be able to process that data and get it in the right hands.
Right. So you're dealing with your pilots are probably part of your, you know, experienced survey members as well. So they, you know, they understand PPK, they understand control, all of those things. So that works out great. And, you know, on those longer corridors, you know, you're flying all day. You know, setting up the projects is a big challenge, making sure that you're capturing, you know, during sun angle. You never know when clouds are going to come by and blow your day. So, you know, that's always a challenge. You know, you got to be prepared to be on site and ready to go. And then you guys have, you know, maybe in a unique situation compared to others, that you've built the processing workstations, the capacity to process these large data sets, correct?
Yes, sir. So we have a virtual rendering farm that I worked with our IT group. So we've spent a lot of time with them putting that, or getting it built, and then, you know, working the kinks, like anything else, something new, you got to work the kinks out. But it's been spot on for us. It's nice to use. And again, I have the ability to go rip a bunch of images if I need to, you know, and that's important, you know, for us. And it's not something I use every day. But when you need it, you need it. It's kind of like our UAS command center. We don't use it every day, but when we have to have it, we have it. It's available and it's at our disposal. So those are things we're looking at. And, you know, cloud-based stuff right now is more and more common. So we're looking at that too. I mean, there's viable options there. So, and I will tell you this from my perspective, data sets are getting bigger and bigger. The equipment's getting better, the cameras, the resolution. You know, and then you throw in maybe LIDAR and things like that. Data sets just continually get bigger and bigger, and that's not going to change.
Yeah, you're absolutely right about that. And, you know, depending on the resolution somebody wants, those files can get really, really large. So a question, though, do you, when you guys are out in the field collecting, you know, over multiple days or anything like that, are you doing any processing in the field to validate that you've collected everything, or are you content with the flight management software, you know, ensuring that you've captured everything that you need?
I think for us, depending on the project, we'll do a cursory glance of the data just to see if it's what we need or if we've got the right stuff. If it's a bigger project like Selma or the West Alabama Highway, we will definitely take the time to look at that data to make sure we've got what we need. So, and yeah, it slows us down just a little bit, but once we're confident that we've got that data, we don't check it anymore. We'll start flying and just keep going flight after flight after flight.
Yep.
And go from there. So.
Yeah. And I've looked at, you know, obviously I've looked at the data set. I've run it through correlated 3D, which, you know, you guys have as well. One of the things I noticed is, you capture quite a bit of overlap. And that's prudent because, I mean, you're up there, you want to capture as much as you can and make sure that you have the coverage that you can. But in the demo that I'll get into later on, I'll show folks how, you know, if speed is the driving factor, you know, how you can go ahead and eliminate some of those images, some of those flight lines, things like that to make your processing faster. But I completely understand that you want to capture as much as you can because it's better to have more than to come back without it. So I assume Absolutely. That's why you guys are doing that.
Yes. Number one, we fly, you know, depending on the project, mm-hmm. our typical overlap could be 70-70 or 75-75 for Nader.
Yep.
You know, if doing the modeling side of things, it could be more. You know, yep. it just depends on what we're trying to do. So, but yeah, I don't want to have to go out and fly something and turn around and say, oh, we didn't get the data we need. We got to go back. So that's time and money. And that's something we try to avoid.
Yeah. Yeah. Well, I'm sure you guys are pretty much standardized on how you're going to collect the data, depending on, you yep. know, what the output is. And then from there, again, if you've got really large data sets like Selma, I assume you're bringing those back into the office, you know, to process in the farm, shall we say, you know, just because of the processing power required to knock those kind of data sets out.
Yes, yeah, we do. So we use that. We use, you know, SimActive, 3D Correlate. We use, we've used some other softwares too. It's like anything else. I tell people it's different drones for different projects, different software for different deliverables, you know, and how Absolutely. Can we get stuff out there
Absolutely.
In the proper hand? So it's not a one-stop shop.
Yeah.
And that just comes from experience, I think. So, and our team is well-versed in, you know, if we go to a site, we know what we're flying. We know what we need to bring to get that data, mm-hmm. you know, collect that data and then get it processed and get it out.
Right. And kudos to you guys for building that infrastructure so that you can handle whatever, you know, like I said, whether it's LIDAR, whether it's, you know, imagery from a SkyDio for, you know, a structure or, you know, something you can process in the cloud. You've got all those options at hand so that you can get the data out to somebody, you know, as soon as possible. Another question I had. So the Selma project, you know, was that originally for just, you know, emergency response so people could get a view, or was it more you guys were, you know, working on, you know, corridor work in the area and needed to pick that up?
Combination of all the above. So number one, it was to get it in not first responders, but the governor,
yeah.
you know, those people wanted to see what was going on, what happened. Secondly, it was delivered to the city of Selma so they could start planning out what they were going to have to do to get the city back open, roads mm-hmm. open, you know, debris removed, those type of things. So I call it 360. So we, you know, you go out, you fly this stuff, you deliver it. It's full cycle. It just keeps going and going to different people. So, and that's the whole idea of these data sets.
Yeah.
You know, if we can go out and fly it once, deliver it to whoever I need to, they can distribute it to whoever they need to. So whether it's first responders, DOT personnel, you know, out in the region, city personnel. So all those things factor into something like that, which was a, you know, a natural disaster. So mm-hmm.
do you guys, in that case, are you housing the data and serving it yourself, or is it going to another entity that's taking care of that, another, you know, CDGIS or, you know,
we can do both. We can do both.
Yeah.
We can do both if we need to. So mm-hmm. A lot of times it's easier if we push it up to the cloud and let it, you know, get it distributed out that way. Mm-hmm. It's, sometimes that's quicker. Sometimes in the city of Selma, I actually had, they had no internet or nothing. So we had to yeah. hand deliver a hard drive because of all the damage out there. So, and that's what we did. We hand delivered a hard drive with all the data on it and, you know, let them start their procedures and what they need to do to get the city of Selma back opened up.
One of the things I'm going to do, and this is, you know, after you and I talk, I'm going to go and I'm going to show people again some of the ways that you can process the data in correlated 3D, how you can speed up that processing, things like that. At IHEAP, you've opened up this opportunity for not only ourselves, but other folks that have processing software, folks that have different drones come in and showcase what they're doing, how their processing works, you know, how it matches to control. We've got a test site in that you're working with right now, and we're all processing the data, and we'll be talking about that again during the conference. You know, what other things do you see, you know, on the horizon with the drones? I mean, whether it's, you know, hardware, whether, you know, what do you want, you know, as we move forward? We all have wish lists.
Well, we do, and I still do. We're expanding our horizons. We're about to get into some hydrographic surveys, so we're actually going to buy a little. It's a 1 meter boat with, you know, remote control. You set up the flight lines just like, or drive lines, whatever you want to call it, just like you do a drone, and
yep,
you know, with a single beam echo sounder, and go out and start doing some hydrographic surveys with those. So that's one way we're expanding. I'm also expanding. We are starting to locate some folks out in the regions. So what that does for me, it opens up some more doors, but it also means I've got to have more equipment. I've got to make sure those guys are taken care of. So all those things come into play. And technology, you know this, Eric, as much as anybody, it changes almost daily now. Mm-hmm. So my goal is to, number one, do my homework. And I'm looking out for where we're going to be in a year, 2 years, 3 years down the road. So we're planning for that. Do we meet our goals and objectives every time trying to get there? No, because yeah, technology changes and you're like, well, that's kind of obsolete. Now I want to go here, but yeah, but that's not going to change. I don't care if it's CAD software, drones, hardware, software, that's going to continue. So I think it has to. That's a driving force for what we're doing with UAS. I mean, and I love it. And you know, the data is getting better and better. It gets bigger and bigger. So you got issues there, but I think you want the best that you can provide for your end users. And that's going to include bigger, better technology. And that's the way I approach things. I've always approached that throughout my career at DOT, which is 34 years. I've always looked at software and I want to move to the next step. I don't want to be left behind.
Yeah.
So and that's how I've approached our UAS group.
Yeah. So, you know, to that point, the Wingtra, the latest version has a much larger camera in it now. What's a 60 megapixel or something like that? Or you guys are working with that, correct?
So I don't own one yet. We are looking at purchasing one. It's a 61 megapixel camera.
Yep.
It's a wider angle. Mm-hmm. So you're getting a lot more overlap, but a lot less images. So there's a trade-off.
Which allows you to fly a lot longer.
Yeah, so you got to look at those things. So, and then we're also looking at LiDAR, you know, being mainstream at AL.2 from a drone perspective. So we've got a test site set up for that. So we're doing some testing right now. Hopefully within the next 6 months, we're going to make a purchase and go from there. So we're working with some different vendors. Mm-hmm. But again, that technology, just the sensor technology on that side of the game changes.
Amazing.
You know, it's crazy. So, but either my philosophy is always, you can change or you can sit there and do it the way you've always done it, and you're just not going to move forward. So, and you can't do that in the drone industry or the UAS industry. You got to be willing to jump out there and take advantage of what they're offering. Our vendors, you know, they've got great hardware, software, like SimActive. Those are things that people need to take advantage of. So that's the way I'm going to approach it until they run me out of the door. So,
well, you know, we appreciate your time with us, your input. When you and I get together, we talk software, you know, and you make your suggestions about how things could be better, could work better. We're certainly doing that on our end, like you say, as technology is changing. And again, I'll talk about it here in the demo, but thanks for giving us some time. If you got any closing comments, bring them on.
No, I thank you for the opportunity to sit down with you and talk about all things UAS and the software side of things. So,
all right. Well, thank you very much.
Thank you, Eric. Talk to you later.
Well, I'd like to thank my guest, JD. I'd also like to thank you, the listener, for joining us as well. This podcast was created in conjunction with a webinar You can access that webinar as well as previous webinars and podcasts by going to our website, simactive.com, where they can be found under the Learning tab. If you enjoyed this podcast, please share on social media. You can also subscribe to this podcast through many of the popular podcast subscription sites. Once again, thanks for joining us. Until next time.